Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Trotten's been raining off my cup. Pink via deck, my boss is the kleine Fahrdame to up. Gate mir kein's a flint.
Welcome to Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. I'm your host, Judy Gold, and this week we are revisiting my interview with Elaine Boozler, who is one of my idols. Watched her a lot when I was growing up, and she made me really want to do stand-up. I mean, I wanted to do stand-up, but she was one of the breaking the glass ceilings, and she was really in the clubs at a time when there were no women. I just love her. So you're going to love this interview. It was fantastic. I love these revisits because I'm doing my show now. We were in previews. I did my first two previews, and I had to ask for lines multiple times, right, Elisa?
A couple times.
I made it work because I'm a pro. And it's going really well. If you're in New York, you have to come see the show. Yes, I can say that, at 59 E59, which is on 59 East 59th Street. It's called 59 E59 Theater. So I have just been doing tech rehearsals all day and then performances at night, and it's definitely getting there. It's almost there, and I'm really excited. I think it's really important, and you better get your fucking asses there. This week you get to hear, you know, one of my idols, and brilliant. And Elaine Boozler, I don't know if you know this, she has written New York Times crossword puzzles. Did you know that, Elisa?
No.
Yes. Wow. Yes, she has created. She is very smart. And I hope that when we have these revisits, like we had the revisit with Lorraine Newman, that you go and Google the videos and the films and the, you know, the, it's just video and films. And, you know, articles, whatever, and read more about them and get to know them, because they have definitely paved the way, paved the fucking way. Anyway, so that's that. I'm so excited. I would comment on politics. The only thing I'm going to comment on is that fucking Murdaugh trial. First of all, Elisa is obsessed with the Murdaugh trial. Obsessed. And you don't get obsessed at a lot of things.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
So she's really obsessed. So she has like gotten me into being really obsessed with what a bunch of fucking white motherfucking privileged pieces of shit. And how many murders did they cause?
Well, definitely two. Perhaps
right.
Four.
Yeah.
Five.
Four or five. I mean, who are these fucking people? Like, it's just unbelievable. Also, I didn't watch Chris Rock's special because I didn't have time, but I'm going to watch it. And I love Chris Rock, FYI. I love him. I think he's awesome. And I love that, you know, he addressed this and got the last fucking laugh like he always does. What else? What else do we want to talk about? Anything else? I still hate George Santos. Kellyanne Conway and George Conway are getting divorced. Isn't that great? Because the fucking assholes. I don't know how he could have, whatever, been married. And then they're getting divorced. I don't know if you heard this. And then Trump, the fucking piece of shit, wrote some horrible thing about how ugly and horrible George Conway is. Okay. But Kellyanne will still be on Trump's fucking side. Whatever. I hate these fucking scumbags. DeSantis is dangerous. He is now trying to get bloggers and people who write about him having to register with the state. This is shit that happened during the Third Reich. This guy's a fucking dangerous piece of shit. It's just beyond. And he's more dangerous because he's educated. Like, Trump and the fucking white supremacist idiot motherfuckers, they're dangerous, but they're fucking dumb. All right, that's it. You have to come see my show. You have to come see my show. And I want you to really sit back, relax, and enjoy my interview with the one and only Elaine Boozler.
Woo!
Welcome to Kill Me Now with
Make
Elaine
some
Boozler.
Nice. Say it again. Welcome to what?
Kill Me Now.
Oh, Kill Me Now.
With Elaine. Elaine, this is like, you're my dream guest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're my, what are you yaying me?
Well, thank you very much.
You are my dream.
Now, why would that be?
You know,
because
Elaine,
I get you, doll.
You did not graduate high school.
I did not. Sheepshead Bay High.
Yeah.
You know how in the old days they had two kinds of diplomas? One was an academic, which meant you went to school. The other was called a general. It means we saw you here once. We need the chair. Get out.
Right.
So that's what I got. And because my birthday's in the summer, I was 16. So I was out at 16.
And did your family, as a Jew... That is Elaine Boozler.
That's me
drinking
water. Very I have no idea. You know, I don't. It's all blacked out. I remember nothing before my first Tonight Show.
But you went to the Academy. What is it? The new.
That's when I was a little kid to keep me off the streets.
Really?
Yeah.
So
it
you
forced me
like...
into these lessons just so I couldn't have any kind of a life with friends.
Oh, that's good.
Because
but
it was
made you a great comic. Yeah.
Well, no, that had nothing to do with it.
Really? You think so?
American Academy of Dramatic Arts when you're 10?
The fact that you were, you know, forced to do all this shit.
Well, you know how people say about this government, oh, it must be so great material.
Right.
And I say, you know, I'd rather have a good government and talk about my weight.
Yeah.
I feel the same about my childhood. Oh, look what it gave you. I go, you know, I would have rather have had a good childhood and be married with three kids and a nice yellow couch now.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, look what you got. It's
you want
like
a yellow couch?
A lemon yellow cut velvet. Bell!
This bell sucks. It's fucking broken.
Oh, no. You know why? We gave it a nervous breakdown within the first 5 minutes of the podcast. That's why. Within 5 minutes, it went, holy cow, this is heavy duty.
I love it. Now, you were a singer-dancer. You went on tour with Godspell, like a bunch of...
Okay, all that stuff.
Right?
Yeah.
So you were really a... you know,
well, you know, I was just actor, trying to do anything. No, right. I wasn't. I had no gifts, and I certainly didn't sing by myself.
Right.
No gifts.
You were in the company part of these shows.
Well, you know what I did? I would just, there was a paper called Show Business and Backstage. There were
yeah,
two,
I remember.
50 cents.
Yeah.
And I would look at the, you know, look at the ads and whatever they were looking for just to, you know, I was working in a clothing store at 14. Right. I needed to get out of there. And I think when I was about 16, 17, they were advertising for dancers and singers for a show at the Lucayan Beach Hotel in the Bahamas.
Wow.
And I lied about my age and got the job, and I got to live in the Bahamas for 6 months and walk to work in the ocean every
no
night.
No way.
No, it's true.
And you were 16?
Well, 17 by then.
Wow. And very independent.
Yeah.
Elaine.
So I was, you know, in that silly little show. It was three girls and three guys, and I had the time of my life, and they were all very dedicated show business.
Did you tell anyone your real age?
No. And they were holding ballet classes every right. afternoon and voice, and I was, you know, sleeping with all the croupiers.
Oh,
and,
that's awesome.
And they're going, you're just horrible. And I said, look, I have no interest in anything but paying rent. I just want freedom and, you know, life. And it's very funny because years later, and they were all very talented.
Right.
Years later, I'm walking up Broadway, and one of the guys is walking up Broadway, this little boy about 3 years old. And we stopped and said hi. It was many years later. And he looked at me and said, I just have one question. Why you? Why you?
Wow.
And, you know, instead of getting upset because you have no idea, well, you do know what
right.
people
oh, yeah.
say to us.
Oh, please.
We're garbage. We're
right.
the lowest
yeah.
of the low. They will come up and say anything
Any
to you.
Fucking, and tell you jokes and
oh,
fuck, Phil,
just,
yeah,
it's
fucking,
the lowest of the low. So instead of lashing out, I just said, hey, Tom, you look at this beautiful little boy. You're in New York. You have a nice life. Just be grateful. You know, it's all good. Nobody knows why anything. But I wanted to say, well, dude, I had something you didn't
you
have.
You know what? Which you want the answer to that?
Yeah. A gift.
And the answer to that question is the question you asked right there.
Exactly.
That you fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Tom. Fucking asshole.
Oh, well. Right. No, no.
No,
he just,
Tom. Good.
You know, people don't get look.
Barry Betterman. Okay. You. So you get a job at the Improv. As a door person, is
well,
that correct?
Well, I actually went as a waitress.
Okay.
And you want to talk about, oh, what do you, who's calling? Who's calling you?
No, it's
all
the
right.
fucking
comedy Let me turn up my
seller.
Ringer while we're
all
talking.
Right.
What was funny was you talk about Me Too now and all this stuff and how we went to work. You know, my joke is I started out so long ago, we didn't have a word for sexual harassment. We just called it going to work. which is true. And so I go for the interview as a waitress to, you know, the Improv, but for
right.
and wash my mouth out with soap. And thank you. So I you know, we're talking and he said, why'd you get fired from your last job? And it's true. After the Lucayan Beach Hotel, they all started doing cruises, the same company.
Right.
And they fired me because they said I was ugly. So, you know.
They literally said.
They said, you're ugly.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did. But I was very cute, I have to tell you.
That is the most are
They'll
you
say,
fucking kidding me?
Will they say anything to us?
That's
anything.
True.
And I have to tell you, I was so beautiful, you could die.
Oh, yeah, you were.
Go on
you,
my website and look at
yeah, the pictures.
ElaineGreenstone.com photos. And if you look at
yeah,
the early days
amazing.
Of me as a dancer, you will fall down and die. I was beautiful. So I just, it just shattered me, you know? And so he said, well.
But that wasn't the first time the last time you'd heard something so horrible. Like
I've
that.
Heard a million
yeah,
things,
yeah.
but I'm just saying that's why they fired
right.
me and took the other people on the cruise.
Right.
And I was just stunned. So when I went to get the job as a waitress at the Improv, I was 20. And Bud said, well, why'd you get fired from your last job? They said I was ugly. He said, well, what do you mean ugly? I said, oh, they said my nose was too big. This is what he says to someone who comes in for a job. Your nose, I haven't gotten past your tits yet. And I was so happy to get the job because, you know,
are
that's...
Are you fucking...
No, that's how they talk to you. So I got the job, and no kidding, that was a setup for what was the next 2 years of
right.
removing his hand from my ass every day of my life
no
for
way.
2.5 years. And just, you know, just it was a horrendous and wonderful without his
right.
part 2.5 years.
You know, I found, you know, I've listened to several interviews, you know, that you've done. And
I love that your little book is full of writing and that you actually care. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, look at
three pages. Because nobody does that.
You do. I have three
no
pages on
No one does that.
You.
I love you.
Well, I love you. And
thank
I just want to say.
That's so kind.
There were so many things that I found as someone who came after you that were so heartwarming. The fact that, you know, you ended up going on stage one night, right. Because there were
that's
like,
all true.
Right, every, three you know, Japanese people right. in the audience, and Bud's like, go up there, and you're like, I
already
my songs.
Sang my three songs.
Yeah. And he's like, well, go talk.
Go talk. You're funny anyway.
And you go up, and then two other comics come back on and act like they're urinating on you.
Well, actually, I talked for an hour. Does that sound familiar, Mrs. Maisel? And thank you when you were accepting your Emmy saying, gee, we did a lot of research. Possibly my script that went around Hollywood for 15 years with all the stories in it that are now on Mrs. Maisel.
Yes.
Thank you. And fuck you people.
Right.
Anyway, I went up and talked for an hour. Thank you. Was that Jewish? Talked for an hour, I was so happy to be away from him and away from the door where I was freezing because he kept it open no matter what, and I was right in the door. And that night...
Oh, God, that door. I remember that door.
He would hook it open, and I had bronchitis for 2.5 years because he wouldn't let me close the door. Like, he needs it open.
Just so you know, because he was gone by the time I started there.
Oh, really?
And Silver was there, and we had the door closed
Another
all the
pleasure.
Fucking time. Yeah. Silver, sorry.
Well, you know, it was so funny because he'd chained it open, and it was -2 degrees on 44th and 9th.
Yeah.
Hell's Kitchen, when it was Hell's
Kitchen. You're not kidding.
And then Andy Kaufman would come and quietly unchain the door so it could close so I wouldn't die. But so I went on stage, talked for an hour, 2 o'clock in the morning. All the guys had come back from their gigs. They were in suits. So Freddie Prinze, Richard Belzer, and a wonderful comic named Tom Curley, who was half of Edmonds and Curley.
Right.
About halfway through, they were so stunned at what
how
I was
funny
doing.
You are.
And I had no idea that it was anything valuable that they all came up with their backs to the audience and mimed peeing on me. And I have to tell you, I know it sounds terrible to normal people,
but hilarious.
It was the greatest
compliment
of my life.
To get shit on by another comic
but
is
they,
the greatest.
I knew that, there's some respect. I mean, I know it sounds terrible to normal people.
They don't
people,
get it.
That's, but it was the best thing that could have. So I come off after an hour, and it was like, you know how they used to part in the westerns after the shootout when the guy who made it walked through.
Yeah.
They were, it was like walking down Main Street, and they said, do you know what you just did? And I said, no. And they said, you have no. I said, that was nothing, because everything in my life that was worth anything was so hard.
Right.
And such a struggle.
Right.
Math and school and dancing and trying to sing.
Right.
I was terrible at everything.
Right.
This was like, boom.
Right.
Nothing. And
it's
they
like
said,
an out-of-body experience.
Yeah, because I had no idea that's what I was born
that's
to do.
That's what I felt the first time I did stand
Judy,
up.
Oh.
I felt like, oh my God, what the fuck is this?
See, like, but
this
I didn't even feel that.
Oh, I did.
Because to me, I just felt like, hey, I got away from this lech for an hour.
Right.
And that was nothing. And they said, you have no idea what you did. I said, you're right. And they said, I said, it was nothing. It was so easy. It was nothing. And they said, you're going to find out, you know, what that was. But I had no idea. I kept singing for like another, you know, year.
Hey everyone, I have a new sponsor and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple. I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. It you don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're like dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by 4 PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit, I said shit, on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent, did you like that? Senescent cells, those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin, so do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin and I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co. And it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code JUDYGOLD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUDYGOLD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome.
You know, there's so many interesting things about you and your career path. One of them, from someone from my perspective, is that, you know, Andy Kaufman, who you were, you know, soulmates.
Well, we lived together for two and a half years.
Right. And you say that he taught you how to be a comic.
Yeah, he did.
And, you know,
if he was alive today, I'd kill him.
Well, is he alive? No, anyway. Uh-huh. So, but
I'll never tell.
You know, and you often, when I hear you speak about those days, it's the Belzer and the Freddie Prinze and the Robin Williams and all these
Richard Lewis, Mike Priminger.
And all of Frank Ajay.
Franklin was later in LA. This is my New York group.
Okay, gotcha. But these guys embraced you.
Oh,
they
yeah.
fucking, you were that class of
that
comics.
That class was a family. My first family I ever had.
Right.
Ever.
That's what people do. Like when I go, you know, now I know we're at Stand Up New York right now, but when I go, you know, I still do sets.
Of course.
You know, four or five nights a week.
I know.
And I'll be in the worst fucking mood and be like, fuck, you know, and then you go, of course you go on Facebook and this one's, you know, starring in their own fucking, you know.
You can't worry about that.
And you got to put that out of your head.
Yeah.
When I walk in a comedy club, I feel like I'm home.
Of course.
You know?
Of course.
So, you know,
you have to know about Facebook. I mean, everyone's life looks better and people say, oh my God, you're doing so well and I'm not.
Please.
And I say, you have to understand Facebook is my business card, not my diary.
Oh, that's what I say. Get a fucking diary. And you know what I'm sick of? If you're on Facebook, like people who take photos of themselves in a hospital room and don't say why they're there, you know, hi, wish me luck, think good thoughts. What the fuck are you in the hospital for?
And then
for?
You find out that it was 5 years ago.
Yeah, right.
My favorite is my mother died 94 years ago,
right.
And I still miss her to this day. And I go, lucky you.
Yeah.
I tried to kill my mother.
So Richard Lewis.
Yeah. Mr. Nuts, who I love.
I love. Nicest guy in the world.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. And the craziest, maybe.
Yes. He said that you were the Jackie Robinson of his stand-up
class. That's true. They saw what I went through. They knew what I was going through.
And, you know, and I have to say.
And plus, I was batting 340 at the time.
Right.
So
whatever was there with that group, what didn't translate to my group of male. You know, I always have thought that the male comics in my sort of generation really boosted each other up and helped each other out. But. You know,
I have heard about this, seen it, and known it.
Yeah, and
we were
and
the first and last generation.
That? Yeah, where the fuck did that go? I mean, the only people who've given me like major jobs: Rosie O'Donnell, Margaret Cho. I'm sure there's more.
That's
don't get
wonderful.
Me. But you know, those are the people.
But
who
let me
for
show
me.
You the upside of that because I'm always looking for that.
Mm-hmm.
The upside of that is I was the only one, and they loved me and protected me, and I was their sister. By the time you came along, there were women now. So, yay, you were on equal footing, and it became competitive, and that's a good thing.
Right.
They
and
didn't
I get
have
that.
To be nice
and
to
the
you.
And the other thing about you that separated you from, you know, and look, we're not saying there was no Joan Rivers. And there was Phyllis Diller, and there was no Martha Bailey.
And I'm happy to talk about
but
them.
But you were a club comic. You were a club comic, and
it's not that they weren't. Here's the difference.
Yes. Yeah.
And I call it the second golden age of comedy in my book next year called Big Fun. It's not an autobiography.
It's just
the stories from those days because I was the doorman for 2.5 years and I was the fly on the wall and nobody knows these stories, which are so hilarious. And, you know, the book is just because of our hard times right now. It's just the fun, funny book.
Right.
And it's all the great stories that you go, oh my God, I can't believe this. So that's what I'm writing about, not my life.
Right.
But here's the difference. And here's the thing that got me to look at it. You constantly hear from, you know, feminists, which I am one, for years.
Same.
Oh, those women were so self-deprecating. It was terrible. And now we're not. And I say, okay, let me explain this to you because it's in the liner notes of my new boxed set, Elaine Boozler Timeless.
I have it written on my notes.
Thank you. 4 iconic specials and 1 brand new CD. The liner notes put everything in context and explain this. And here's the explanation. No, they weren't self-deprecating. They were working in the 50s and 60s.
Right.
They were doing exactly what the male comics of the time were doing, reflecting their times and their audience's lives. What are you going to tell me? Oh, the women were self-deprecating. No one ever says the men were self-deprecating.
Right.
What do you think, Rodney Dangerfield was the poster boy for success?
Right, exactly.
All the men were doing the same thing. That was comedy then.
Right.
They were hangdog husbands and wives trying to survive their marriages, their kids, and their lives. And they were brilliant, the women, because they were exactly doing the right thing in stand-up.
And that was disarming at the time
as well.
They
were reflecting their audience's lives. They were reflecting their times.
Right.
That was what was happening then. That's exactly what they should be doing. And Jackie Vernon and Jackie Gale and Rodney Dangerfield and all of them... They were not.
Right.
They were as self-deprecating as because that was what comedy was.
Right.
The break came. You know, the big change started. Dick Gregory, Lord Buckley, Lenny Bruce, Robert Klein, of course, Richard Pryor, you know, later George Carlin.
Right.
I mean, what happened there was it became younger. It became more outward looking than inward looking. And we became the town criers. When I showed up for that night to be a waitress, it was Andy Kaufman, Richard Lewis, Richard Belzer, Freddie Prinze, no Jew there, Jimmy Walker, Pryor was dropping, and Lily was dropping, and we don't count her as a stand-up because she's a gift from God, so she's just in her own cloud.
Yeah, she has a whole, her own planet,
she's
fucking amazing.
Thank God she showed up.
I know.
But so that, it was these young guys in their 20s, and I would listen to them while I was waitressing, and they go, hey, you know, and they're talking about their mothers bothering them, and school, and dating, and they go, you ever notice? And my head went, I always notice. And I went, I was 20 and I could relate.
Right.
That's when it changed. And it had nothing to do with self-deprecating, not self-deprecating. We reflect our times and the times had changed.
And you were, honestly, the first female. Single.
I was the first young, single
female.
Dressed up for
you were
a date.
Mary Tyler Moore.
dressed up for a date in Brooklyn, but still. And, you know, trying to be as smart and pretty as possible.
Right.
I wanted to be pretty. I wanted to get dates. I wanted to be smart.
Right.
And, you know, I went with all of it. And I cannot tell you, night after night, you can't do this. It'll never work.
Right.
You can't, you know, all older women coming over that were actresses. I tried it. You know, you can't do it. And when people say, you have any advice for comedians, my only advice is don't take any advice.
That's what I say. Follow your gut. Anyone tell you what to
do
and get as much stage time as possible.
You have to. They don't know what's inside of you. They don't know what's coming out of you. They don't know where you're going or what you see yourself as.
Right.
You must follow yourself.
You develop your act and you end up going on the road and you're doing 2 hours.
Two and a half.
In those days. Okay. And this is when... all the guy comics are getting specials, starting to get specials, right?
Yeah, I started hitting the road in 76. The special started in the early 80s.
And Robert Klein and, you know, and this
is everyone.
A whole new, you know, thing. Oh, you go to every fucking person and say, give me a special. I'm doing 2.5 hours on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. No one wants to listen to a woman talk.
No one wants to see a woman do an hour.
Right.
That was the line.
Okay. No one wants to see a woman do an hour.
Exactly. That was the line.
Okay.
Yep.
And you're like, well, fuck that.
Well, I kept bringing in my reviews from Michigan and North Dakota and, you know, everywhere. I was everywhere.
Right.
Places you wouldn't think they loved me, you know, because, you know, what I do, I'm warm and it's funny.
Right.
And I'd bring in the reviews and the headlines were things like, this is the longest and funniest show we've ever seen. And I'd say 2.5 hours, you know, and they love it. And it's you know, it's not just New York and L.A. It's Mississippi. And, you know, when they go, well, you know, they don't want to. And then finally, finally,
was there ever a woman that you pitched to that said that?
Well, the women were higher up, right. You know, like Sheila Nevins at HBO. Right. They were right. higher up. So the thing that was so great was Chris Albrecht.
Yes. Who had, by the way, was a doorman at the Improv.
Well, he bought in when right. Bud went to LA.
Right.
Chris bought in and became the guy who ran the Improv right. and saw everyone and knew right. everything about comedy. So they steal him away to run the comedy department at HBO. Now he's seen me work for years.
Right.
I go up for the meeting. He's over the moon. Oh my God, you're going to be my first project here. And it's going to be so great. I'm giving you the special and you're going to be my first special that I present. And they're going to know how good we both are. You know, God bless right. Chris Albrecht. And I'm an atheist, right. which I am. And he said, come back next week. I come back. He walks in the room. I already knew. He said, we can't do it. They won't buy it.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even I mean, what did that feel knew, like? Was that like...
It was impossible. And here's why.
Were you devastated? Or were
yes,
you like,
of course I was devastated.
And then you were like...
Well, here's why I was devastating. It killed me. It right. killed my career. Because all these guys are doing specials and moving up to bigger places and making money.
Right.
I'm still in my tiny apartment. I'm playing the same clubs year after year for the same money with new material right. every year. And
By the way, for listeners, that... in itself does not happen. Maybe a handful of comics have right. new material, yeah. like a new act every
right.
year. Yeah.
So I can't move up into better show business, you know, get money, make a living.
Simply because?
Because you don't have that exposure.
Right.
And nobody becomes a star on the road. They never have and they never will.
And prior to cable, a lot of people don't know this, prior to cable, you did a Tonight Show, you did something, that was it. The path was
the Tonight
kill
Show.
On the fucking
Period.
Tonight Show, Johnny it. Says, come sit down, you're done.
That was it.
And then cable came and that was the end of that.
You don't want to hear my Tonight Show stories.
I love the Helen Reddy Tonight Show story.
Yeah, just amazing stuff. Just, you know, no one has ever said a bad word about Johnny because even from the grave, they're terrified of him, but he was not a good person.
Yeah, there's a book about
women.
Yeah, yeah.
There were no books because he would kill you. He was the most powerful man in America.
Since he died, yeah.
But Craig Tennis, who was, you know, worked for the show for years, while Johnny was alive, Craig wrote a very, very complimentary book and Johnny still had him killed because you're not right. allowed to talk about him.
Right.
Now the books are starting to come out to tell people what he was and all my stories will be in Big Fun when
well,
it comes
hello.
Out.
Well, hello. First of all, what he did to Joan.
And what he did to me, I'm telling you. But yes, what he did to Joan.
Oh, I can't wait to say.
What he did to Joan was unconscionable because you and I are the kind of people where if we helped someone get a leg up and then she or he got something good, we'd
root
for them.
Yay!
Hey, no one's going to knock Johnny Carson off number one. It should have been like, hey, whatever audience you get, congratulations, and I'm rooting for you.
Right.
Because we help our friends and we know who we are. We're going to be fine.
Right.
And he was that small a human being that he couldn't even let her.
Who else is that small?
Everyone.
Orange.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, everyone. I love our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I don't know if you've noticed when we show the clips of the podcast that I have a new best friend in my office named Avi. And where did I get Avi? At Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States of America. And I am a happy customer. I love walking in this room and seeing my fig tree, Avi. I talk to Avi. I love it. It makes me happy. And you need plant life in your house. And I have another plant on my piano in the other room. I'm just telling you, it makes your home so much more of a home. So thank you to Fast Growing Trees. They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees. They have palm trees. They have evergreens. They have houseplants and so much more. And I'm in an apartment in New York. Okay. I don't even have a yard outside. And it's changed my life. Do it. Go to Fast Growing Trees. And whatever you're interested in, they have it. They have the perfect fit for your climate, for your space. You can call them and ask them how to take care of your plants. They have so much information. And it's so easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee. They have free plant consultation forever. Forever. And I have a new best friend, Avi. I love you, Avi. So do it. You don't need a yard. You don't need a lot of space. You just need to make your home a beautiful place, and that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals, and listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Do it. You're welcome.
What comes next for you?
Nothing changed.
Nothing.
It's pretty much the same.
You did a lot of Lettermans.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of Lettermans.
24. I've just found out because someone recently cut them together on Twitter and they're all on YouTube now. He did it in 2 90-minute sets. And it turned out to be 24. I had no idea.
24. And what is that, 6 7 minutes?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's 90 minutes. Yeah. You cut together 24.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So one day you're on The Tonight Show with Helen Reddy as the, she was sitting in for Johnny. Do you remember this?
They used a lot of guest hosts in those days.
Yeah. And you come on and she says, "You're an inspiration to so many women out there." You said, "I hope I'm an inspiration to everyone," basically.
I think I might have said men, too.
I love that. I fucking love that.
One of my earliest lines, which still gets quoted forever, is, "I'm just a human being trapped in a woman's body."
Right.
And that's like up on walls and places.
So great.
Someone just put it up on Twitter, I swear to you, the other day.
I hope you get paid for that.
Yeah, I don't get paid, but I get credit, which is, you know, rare enough.
Yeah.
But I'm just a human being trapped in a woman's body. And if you look at all of us that way, you know, that's what we are.
Yeah.
You know?
You also, you've said, because, you know, and a lot of people don't realize this, that comics do a lot of benefits and do a lot of pro bono shows.
A lot of free work.
Right. And you said, this is a quote, "To be a successful comic, there has to be some good in you."
I believe that.
Yeah, I agree.
Who's going to come watch you for an hour and a half if they think that there's so much hate in you?
Right.
But, you know, now I'm kind of watching a lot and I think, well, you know, it comes out of either love or maybe some hate, too.
But you look at the president, who I will be unnamed. And
we have a president?
This guy that's sitting
there. By the way, you know that I got credit in the Urban Dictionary for coining scrotus.
You did?
Yes.
I fucking love that.
Boom. Look in the Urban Dictionary. And scrotus is, and it came to me instantly when the pussy tapes came out. And I went, oh, he's never going to be POTUS.
Right.
He's scrotum plus POTUS.
I love that.
And scrotus is the word. And I got the credit.
I love it.
Yep.
Scrotus.
I call him Scrotus and the third lady.
I love that.
That's who they are, Scrotus
so
and the third
You're
lady.
You're so fucking brilliant.
No, I'm cold. Yes. Go ahead.
All right, we'll be done soon.
No, it's fine.
All right,
it's fine.
All right.
So, I'm loving being here with you.
Oh, I love
you. Judala.
So Scrotus is the epitome of...
a tiny, tiny person in every way.
You said that Lenny Bruce was one of your... big influences.
Well, what do you think the Mount Rushmore of comedy is? Well, and I'm not on it, so don't feel bad.
I would go Pryor.
Yes.
Leonard.
Yes.
George.
Yes.
Oh, he's not Jewish. is there a woman?
Yes.
I would go... is it who I think?
Yes.
It's Joan?
No, it's Lily.
Lily! Yeah. I know! But she didn't do stand-up. But
doesn't
I was
matter.
Also thinking Moms Mabley was very...
they were all great. Yeah. There's great greats.
But Lily
is, you know, an angel drop down.
She's... I saw her recently in Jamestown at the comedy...
I think we talked about this.
And it's...
yeah.
I can't fucking believe...
Go away. Shut up.
It's not... yeah. There's no comparison to her.
Ugh. There's nothing.
Yeah.
And she based her life on Ruth Draper, who was a famous, you know, Lily before Lily.
Yeah.
And we used to do Broadway, and she sat in this big chair. And when Ruth died, her manager gave Lily the chair, Ruth's chair.
Oh,
I know.
That's
so wonderful.
Sweet.
I know. gorgeous. Lily did a benefit for us, my Tales of Joy, my animal rescue. And so I walk in backstage. She got there way early to prepare because she's an artist. And we just I show up a minute before.
Right.
But so she's there and I walk backstage and there's like three empty bottles of wine. And I said, Lily, how can you? And she looked at me. She said, how can you not? I can't even drink a month before I go on. I have to be so straight because they can't hit a moving target.
You are a puzzle master. I mean, you're, first of all.
Not a master, but a fan.
You're a fucking master.
Oh, stop
First of all, you've written Friday puzzles for the New York Times.
No, Wednesday.
Okay, whatever. I couldn't even do
the Friday puzzles.
I couldn't even do Monday at midnight. Yeah, like, I can't. You have written and you did one about comedy, didn't you?
I do is I write for Wordplay, New York Times, and I have a new Wordplay article, which will be up the 30th of this month because my episode of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend airs that night.
Oh, awesome.
So it's going to be my crazy ex-word.
For the crossword. I love it.
So the funny article and solving will be up on November 30th, and then you can watch Crazy Ex-Girlfriend that night.
That's so great.
And I have a duet with Tova Feldshuh. I'm so excited.
God.
I know, it's so good.
And you love crossword puzzles.
I do.
And you write, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it so goes.
I just went to Crossword Weekend up in upstate New York this weekend. We do it once a year. It's called Will Shortz's Wonderful World of Words, and it's 200 geeks.
Right.
Who just play puzzles and...
Do you make puzzles during the...
They make them all year to get them ready for us. And we go there. I entertained last year, which was a lot of fun. I found out I had said yes before. I knew that it was 10 o'clock Sunday morning.
Right.
So
I went in my pajamas
and I got on stage.
That's hilarious.
And I said, here's something I've never said in 46 years of stand-up. Good morning!
So, and I think that your love of the puzzles and the words
we're really, wordsmiths.
It's so,
you know, it's why I don't curse on stage. I just feel
I know you do.
I've seen you and I love you, but it fits everything you're
doing. Because that's how I talk and that's
why how you talk and
talk,
you have
and
to
I grew
be
up
authentic.
In New Jersey, yeah.
I know, but I curse like a sailor off stage. The reason I don't curse on stage, I think, and I never did, I just felt like I really wanted to be political and sexual.
Right.
And I felt like in those days, nobody cursed because I'm telling you, you only could do television. There was no club
that's
life.
That's why Maisel, when she's cursing on
it's
stage,
it's all ridiculous.
I know.
And that's why. Also, I'm dying up here failed because it was so inauthentic.
Right.
I didn't hear the word motherfucker till 1983.
Do you think that part I did on...
You were fucking brilliant.
Was that you?
Brilliant. Oh, I don't think so at all, because you were doing like a Vegas Rusty Warren.
Right, right.
I think more Rusty Warren, not Belle Barth, but more of a Rusty Warren.
They did.
Who I'm a good friend of, and I love to. Oh, she's magnificent.
Will you say
I will. You know, they go to Palm Springs in the winter. We'll all go up for lunch.
All right, let's do it.
And she's on your side of the fence.
That's right.
That's right.
LGBTQRS.
There you go. LGBLT with no mayo. So. you were breathtaking on that show. But there was no cursing in those days because your only outlet for your act, if you got good, was television.
Right,
there was no place else to go.
Right.
And Vegas had no cursing.
Right.
So nobody cursed.
Right.
So I didn't curse because there was no... And then when cursing became allowed, I was already not doing it.
Yeah.
But I got through so much more politics and sex without giving them the heads up that it was going to be sex.
Right.
I got a lot more through.
Right.
So.
I don't know. I've never not spoken like
that. Do what you want. Yeah. I mean, you're a success. It works. You know, if you weren't successful, you go, let me do this. But you have to be yourself.
I know. But Elisa, my girlfriend, is always like, Judy, do you think you're cursing too much? And I'm like, shut the fuck up.
You know, Pryor talk the way you talk.
Right.
Carlin talk. This
is
me. This is not what it should be. This is what I did.
Well, that's
everybody does his and her thing correctly.
Let's talk about...
And I love it. I mean, Pryor's my all-time, you know, Lenny.
Beyond.com.
You know, Lenny didn't curse. I mean, it's hilarious. People think he's filthy. You play his stuff now, you go, no, he took on the church and the government.
Right.
And that's why they thought he was dangerous, but it wasn't about sex after all.
So people are idiots.
Well, they are.
So I asked my guests the same there's two questions.
There are. Oh, my God. We didn't even do our, like, neighborhood. We should just do a few minutes of who we really like to be at home. Oh, my God.
Oh,
we
my God.
We were coming back. We were in Montauk this weekend to do the New York Times crossword weekend.
Yeah.
Okay, so I say to my husband, Bill, and he's gentle. He's such a Goyish cup. It's impossible. He's happy.
He's so nice.
He's happy.
Yeah.
He's too nice.
Oh, please.
It's horrible. He buys like three hot dogs for a barbecue. And I say, what is this? He goes, when we're out of food, they'll go home. I said, okay, die.
Oh, my God. I can't with the non-Jews and the not enough food.
They don't
food.
Get it. They don't get it. They don't. It's like ridiculous. Anyway, he's just so, you know, I say, okay, we're going to so-and-so for dinner. Grab a bottle of wine. Why? If they're making dinner, wouldn't they have wine?
Oh, my God.
I go, you know,
where did he grow up?
He's a road rock and roll road dog. Yeah. No social graces.
Oh,
and it's
God.
Very sad.
Right.
So anyway, so we're in Montauk. We're driving home through Jersey. And I say, you know, I love dining. Because I love the fact that diners have a 400-page menu.
Yeah.
And the kitchen is 2 feet by two feet. And they make everything from lobster fra diavolo to Chateaubriand for two to a peanut butter and jelly sandwich to lobster thermidor, which is very hard to find now.
To an omelet.
And the best fries you'll ever get.
Yeah.
And you know, it's hard to find a bad diner.
Yeah.
So I'm yelping and we're driving and I say, oh my God, you have to go back 16 miles. He goes, no, because we already drove 85 miles. I said, this got 4.2 stars, this diner. We have to go back. So we go back and what's the old joke? Poison and such small portions.
I can't stand Yelp people are so fucking annoying.
TripAdvisor is very accurate.
Yeah, TripAdvisor is really
great.
But
very
the
accurate.
Yelps are all like miserable. It's
everybody's
like,
unhappy
I went
on Yelp.
In and I had my dog and she looked at my dog as if, why? And I'm like, oh my God.
The hostess was not very welcoming. Yeah, because she's making 9 cents an hour and they don't get tipped. So deal with it, you know.
What would you say?
TripAdvisor is good. Okay, back to the two questions.
Well, no,
I'm nervous now.
No, there are two questions are so easy. But
that's
what, like, what would you
an oak? If I was good,
is it what kind of tree would
no.
I be? I am a very pro mental health podcast, you know, like, we're very no stigma. I suffer from anxiety and depression. So we
you're a comic
ask,
and you're Jewish. What else is
we always
what
ask
do you think
our
you're
guests,
special?
I know, true, but it's interesting. But we ask our guests if they've ever been on antidepressants.
Who hasn't been?
Okay,
on?
Yay!
Who isn't on it?
You can't believe. Sometimes I'm talking to someone. I'm like, "Have you? No, I've never done that."
Well, then
and
it's
I'm like,
probably.
Oh my God!
Wait! Good comics.
You know, I'm gonna have to go back.
You're gonna
and
have
check
to
that
check
out.
That out.
Yeah.
But let me tell you how many dogs we have on antidepressants.
Really?
Oh,
oh my God! My neighbor has a dog who has literally been like biting people and is a fucking cunt.
She needs to put the dog on Prozac.
And I was like, "Can't you do? No, I can't." I'm like. You're going to get kicked out of the building.
Well, first of all, I have the greatest trainer in the world, but he's not here. But but it's a company that trains these trainers the same, and I might find someone
it's
here
a Yorkie
for you.
Something.
Doesn't matter.
No,
doesn't
I mean, it's like a little, and it's like, ah! It's like,
yeah, an ankle biter.
Shut the fuck up. And the other dog's so fucking nice.
That's no good. Well, I have great trainers. I'll find out if there's one in New York. And,
well,
Prozac does come, you know, sometimes they've just had a bad, who knows?
I know.
You know, like,
well, like, I always say, you know, we're all mental. You can't, I'm sure every
it's
dog
true.
Has is mental too.
You know, the world changed for animals and people, but I don't know anyone who's not any comic who's not an antidepressant.
Oh, please.
I mean, I'm on the lowest dose possible, but it's been 20 years.
Yeah.
Gee, yeah.
I mean, this is like the theme of my life and why I called my podcast Kill Me Now is I like to discuss with people what pisses them off more than anything in the entire world. Like
everything.
Makes you fucking crazy.
Everything. You know what? Willful ignorance.
Yes.
Because I didn't graduate high school. And I love when they call me, well, you elites, you coastal elites.
Oh, I know.
And I think, honey, I didn't graduate high school. I was beaten every day of my life. You have no idea.
Right.
You know, I thank you for calling me an elite. What a great compliment. Thank you. But, you know, didn't it used to be a kind of a great honor to be called elite?
Right.
I mean, was it elite flying on United Airlines? And that was a great thing. Now it's a shame to have an education.
Right.
And my education was self
I mean, you're done. Fucking brilliant.
You know, I learned.
You know, you can pick up a book, fuckheads.
Exactly. And the fact that no one wants to, the fact that they want to sit there with, you know, MAGA signs and listen to this piece of flotsam, you know, talk, and they don't understand. You know, I'm going to be fine. Right. You're going to be fine.
Right.
They're going to die soon because they're not going to have any medical coverage. Thank goodness, you know, the House changed and they may get some saved.
Right.
But if the House
hadn't
turned over.
But they're not even
going
to know that's why.
No, they're not going to know that's why. But to not understand, you know, it's that great meme of the, you know, women voting Republican and it's the woman sitting there punching herself in the face. And that's the meme. It's like black people in the KKK.
Right.
Jews for, you know, Jews for the Nazi party.
Right.
There's no difference. The regular middle class who supports him doesn't understand what's going on. On here, or there, but it has to be willful.
And that he doesn't give a fucking shit about
not
you.
Get
and
that?
All those people at his fucking rallies, he wouldn't let them into Mar-a-Lago.
That's the whole point. They're not invited to the White House. They're not invited to. They're not going to play golf on his golf courses.
He fucked up the whole fucking White House.
And
too.
The thing, you know, the thing, the willful ignorance, the desire to be dumb, the desire to be blind. That's what makes people dangerous.
Right.
You know, I didn't want to be dumb when I got out of high school with no diploma, and I traveled the world, you know, luckily for work, I got that opportunity. But even if I never traveled the world, I would have picked up a book and learned something.
But did you know you were smart? Like, you have
No, I never passed anything except, you know, French in high school and English. So I knew those were my gifts.
But your
language. No, and I wasn't smart. I was so dumb. I'll tell you, you said you worked the improv when Silver owned it. I was such a bad waitress because I was terrified and cowed because of my childhood that I couldn't waitress. I made a million mistakes. I only waitressed for two nights before they made me the hostess because you don't lift things.
Right.
You don't get to carry a drink. But literally, I had so many mistakes on my check the first night. It's the first word Silver Friedman ever said to me in my whole, you know, decades of knowing her. Well, she wasn't Jewish.
She was, you're right.
I'm sorry. The first thing Silver Friedman ever said to me, she looked at my check with all the mistakes and she said, "Great teeth, but you're dumb." And me being as dumb as I was said, "Really? Great teeth?" Because I didn't know any better.
Thank you so much for listening to my interview with Elaine Boozler. Such a wonderful person. Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling. This podcast would not be possible without the marketing skills and scheduling skills and every other skill that we can attribute to Brittany Jo Soward's Richmond. Yep, married a Jew. Okay, I say that every week. If you like the show, you have to subscribe and leave a review. It should be 5 stars. As I've mentioned previously, I don't know how much longer I'll be doing the podcast because I make no fucking money, but then I get people texting me, or not texting me, like writing to me on, you know, Instagram and Twitter, where I'm at Judy Gold, JEWDYGOLD, and telling me they love the podcast, and then I feel guilty, but it's like I can't keep paying to do this podcast. So something's coming. I don't know when. Something's coming. I don't know what it is, but it is gonna be great. So, you know, change is good. Also, let's see. I just wanted to say, let's see, where is this? I want to say thank you to this woman who sent me it's called Instagram. Okay, the Instagram message, here it is. Where is it? It was basically said, "Did I see you screaming at your city bike on 80 oh no wait I'll give you the exact thing because I took a picture of it. Okay, here it is. Okay. So, this is the story. I go to City Bike, you know, if you live in the city, they have City Bike and you get these electric bikes and it's like, I just prefer to ride a bike to work, especially to 59 E59 theaters, because it's so hard to get the crosstown bus, takes for fucking ever. So I decide I'm going to ride a bike. I bring my helmet. I go to the city bike. I have my own bike, but I don't, you know, I get out late and I don't want to ride a bike home. So I decide I'm going to get a shitty bike. So I go to Shitty Bike on right by my house, like a block away, and there's all these bikes available, but they're not available because they're not fucking working. They're all fucking broken. So then I walk four blocks to another shitty bike dock station, and none of the fucking electric bikes are working. So I have to get a regular bike, which is fine. I'm fine doing it. It just takes a little longer. Okay. So I get on the regular bike, and this, I forgot to adjust the seat, and I'm walking across 87th Street. I'm so fucking mad, and I start yelling, God damn it, all I wanted to do was go to work, and this fucking shitty bike sucks. And there was a guy by the city bike, and he was trying to get a bike. I said, it doesn't work. And he's like, they never work. And I was like, yeah, this fucking shitty. And he fucking hates Shitty Bike. And he started laughing. He's like, have a good day. Anyway, then I get this on my Instagram messages. Were you yelling at your city bike in the middle of Amsterdam and 87th today? Okay. And yes, I was, Sarah. And I'm so glad you could experience it. So then I took a picture of that and I sent it to Elisa, Henry, and Ben, ba-bum-bum-bum, and they all started laughing because they know I scream at inanimate objects all the time. So that was the exciting thing that happened to me this week. And fuck Shitty Bike. They suck. All right. Well, that's it. I don't know what else to tell you. Thank you all for your love and support. I just want to say that the person who wrote to me, I don't know what they wrote me on. I think it might be Tweetar. I don't even know. I don't know. I'm doing my best here. But, you know, things have to, you know, things change. So anyway, but I love you all. I love all of you for listening to the end, whoever you are. If you are still listening, I love you so much. I don't know who the fuck would listen to the end of this. Thank you all so much. And as we always say, so long!